The Taliban have declared an Afghanistan an Islamic Emirate as the militants unveil their interim government. It's led by Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, who is on a UN sanctions list, while the Interior Ministry is the leader of the Haqqani militant group and is still on an FBI blacklist, wanted list. The Taliban are pledging to respect international laws and treaties, but these appointments will no doubt complicate relationships with the rest of the world even further. Afghan journalist Bilal Sawari, who's been a regular correspondent for us from Kabul here over the last few months, fled his homeland last month. He joins us now from Toronto. Bilal, thanks very much for joining us again.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
I hope you and your family are safe there in Toronto.
Yes, we are settling into our new home. We are starting our lives from scratch after we were forced to leave our homeland.
Well, congratulations on becoming safe. And again, thank you for joining us. Bilal, you're very familiar, of course, with the Taliban leadership over the past 10 years or more. The new interim prime minister is one of the founders of the Taliban movement. He remains on a UN sanctions list. What can you tell us about Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund?
He's someone who was very close to the former Taliban leader and founder, Mullah Omar. He's also someone who's then served as the deputy to Mullah Rabbani in Kabul. So he's someone very senior. He knows the leadership. He has those credentials. But he was not supposed to be the caretaker for the Taliban. It was Mullah Abdul Ghani Biradar, the de facto Taliban leader, who the world knows from the negotiations with the Americans in Doha. But serious ideological differences among various Taliban leaders and commanders, the intense back-channel meetings that the Taliban held, and then the visit by Pakistan's head of intelligence, the Inter-Services Intelligence, ISI, and now this announcement, which is not an inclusive government. There's no position for women. Women, in fact, are not appointed to any of those positions. The Taliban have got rid of the Ministry of Women Affairs, and they have brought back their notorious ruler, the Ministry of Virtue and Prevention of Vice, back into the Afghan cabinet. And one wonders how will these Taliban leaders and officials in very strategic and important portfolios travel outside of Afghanistan, since they're on the UN and US sanction lists.
Yeah, a couple of things there, and I want to come to the sanctions list and talk about Haqqani in particular. But just that, as you say, the choice in the end of the leader of Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, not who people were predicting. What does that tell us anything? You say it was a representation or the end result of some ideological battles within Pakistan in the end coming in to help adjudicate. Does the choice of Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, what does that tell us about the ideological direction?
Well, he's definitely a hardliner. He views, the governance in that sort of sense. And it also tells us, that the Taliban are extremely rigid. They are extremely extreme in their, way of looking at things, in terms of governance. And we were always told time and again by certain experts that this is Taliban 2.0. The Taliban have changed, the Taliban have learned from their mistakes. Well, the Taliban have just imposed new rules for education in Afghanistan in a place like Kabul, where they've said male and female students would have to be separated by curtains, that certain private universities should create different gates where female students could enter. And, these restrictions really is a blow, to the gains that Afghan women have made over the last 20 years, the Afghan civil society, Afghan media. And it does look like the Taliban have imposed a lot of restrictions, like we saw with the protest in Kabul. They beat up several members of the Afghan media. They seized their cameras. They jailed reporters. It is also perhaps true that the Taliban are facing a transformed Afghanistan in terms of the social fabric there. So we will have to see how the world will now react. Will the Taliban get international legitimacy and funding? How can the Taliban keep Afghanistan functional? How can they revive the Afghan economy? How can they make sure that the flow of cash comes in. Afghanistan is bankrupt at the moment. It is one thing to fight in the mountains and valleys. It's another thing to, you know, be the state, be the government. And the Taliban have simply failed to make that transition from fighting into governance. I'd also like to say that certain figures within the Taliban leadership who are extremely close to Iran, like Sadr, like many others, are not part of this cabinet. So one does look like Pakistan's, role is massive. Mm-hmm. And in that perception among Afghans, I've also led Afghan women and other protesters confront the Taliban with that. We saw a demonstration outside of the Pakistan embassy where women chanted no more ISI involvement in Afghanistan. They called on Pakistan to stop its interference in the Panjshir River Valley. There has been accusations that Pakistani aircraft and Pakistani fighters have been fighting there against members of the resistance, basically Amrullah Saleh, who was the former first vice president, and Ahmad Massoud, who's the son of Ahmad Shah Massoud.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because so many Afghans too have sought protection or sought safety over the border in Pakistan. So it goes to how safety will be in that country, given that relationship. Can I just go now to, you talk about international acceptance or not, and certainly the Supreme Leader has called for international acceptance. He said this new government wants a strong and healthy relationship with our neighbours and other countries based on mutual respect. How does the appointment of Haqqani, who's the new acting interior minister, who is also the head of the militant group known as the Haqqani Network, quite a feared militant group really, how does that mesh with wanting to get mutual respect from other countries, given that Haqqani remains on the FBI's wanted list?
Well, Sirajuddin Haqqani is, you know, the leader of the Haqqani Network. His father, Jalaluddin Haqqani, and Mr. Siraj, they have had a generational, historical, and ideological relationship with Al-Qaeda. They have had that deep relationship of intermarriages. So it will be a major source of worry for the U.S., Europe, and many other countries. But if you look at the region, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Russia, Turkmenistan, Iran, these countries, were very public and also in private meetings. They said, we will not accept the return of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan because there are thousands of fighters from Central Asian countries, transnational jihadi groups that these countries do see as a threat. Now that the Taliban have announced the Islamic Emirate, these countries will definitely be fearing attacks from groups like the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan, from these Central Asian foreign fighters. We have to remember that this generation of foreign fighters, they have married among local communities. There has been intermarriages. They speak the local languages. Mm. And more crucially, over the last 20 years, it was Al-Qaeda. It was these foreign fighters who taught the Taliban how to build truck bombs, how to build roadside bombs, how to turn a commercial drone into a deadly weapon, how to, carry out assassinations, how to fire mortars. Mm-hmm. So that those fears, in terms of the neighboring countries will be there. And we have to, at the end of the day, also remember Afghanistan continues to be shut to the neighborhood. If there's no trade, if there's no money coming in, the people would want that. The people would want services. And yes, I think that will be a major challenge for the Taliban as a government.
Bilal, thank you very much for joining us again. And we wish you and your family the best of luck in your new life there in Toronto. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Afghan journalist Bilal Salwari.